Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our meeting of worship this morning, and to those who may be tuned in through live streaming or listening by phone. This morning is a truly delightful one, as we now have the pleasure of a new sister who's taken on the life-saving name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. And despite the troubles, this world wonderful act has brought a beautiful light into our day today. And so once more, we've come together, another week has passed, and as a community of believers, we know each week is getting closer to the return of our Lord. And by the grace of our Father in heaven, we are able to meet together and remember our Lord and Master who is represented before us in the emblems. This morning our meeting will be chaired by myself, Brother Mark Sanderson. To exhort, we have our Brother Kent Wilson. Our Brother Kent is to give us our exhortation and has chosen Galatians chapter 5 to prepare our thoughts, and it's based around his theme, Kindness is Love Communicating.
Morning, everybody. So wonderful to be here on this first day of the week. All meetings are great events for us to attend. All meetings encourage us. But I think you'd agree that our meeting here this morning is just that little bit extra special. And Sister Olivia, it's wonderful that you have decided to join us on the walk towards the kingdom. The Apostle John in his third epistle says that there is no greater joy. He says there's no greater joy than that your children are walking in the truth. And so to Matthew, well done. There is a sense of enormous joy, and I speak from my own experiences, that there is no greater joy than that your children walk in the truth. They say that it takes a village to raise a child, and in a sense, the extended village here at Hyde Park, there's been contributions, no doubt, from many that have brought together this wonderful event of Sister Olivia accepting the truth. And I guess the challenge, in a sense, the challenge, and this is only the second time that I've ever spoken when somebody's coming to the meeting for the very first time. I did it for Kieran. But you start to think, what do I speak about? In my normal course of events, people say, this is what you're going to speak about, and it's very easy. But how do you speak about something, in a sense, that's going to have meaning for somebody for whom this is their first meeting? And by the same token, it might be the 3,000th time for, say, her grandfather, Brother Rick, and my father, Brother Stephen. How can you find some level of connectivity? And I think, in a sense, Galatians chapter 5 does that, because Galatians 5 provides us with a framework of living a faith-based life in Christ Jesus. And the challenges that we've read in Galatians chapter 5, the challenges of the warfare that exists, is a challenge whether it's your first Sunday in Christ, or I'd suggest whether it's you've been for 2,000 Sundays, for 3,000 Sundays. In a sense, Paul captures the warfare, the challenge that we face in Christ Jesus. I guess that there's just so much when you look at Galatians chapter 5 and where do you start? What do you actually look at? But for me, I think there's a couple of verses that perhaps stand out, perhaps that are the pivotal verses, we might say. For me, I look at verse 6, and Paul says that it doesn't matter what our beginnings have been, whether we're circumcised or we're uncircumcised, that doesn't count for anything. It's not about law. He says the only thing that matters is faith working through love. That's powerful when you think about it, isn't it? You know, Paul can actually say, if you want to distill everything about what a life of walking in Christ comes down to, it comes down to this. It's about faith working through love. And he goes on and starts to explain, what does that faith working through love actually look like? Well, that's where verse 13 and 14 come into play. Because you see, love, he says, centres on others. Love centres on service. And he says, through love, serve one another. The whole law, he says, is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. Think about those words. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. Everything pivots. Love is just so critical. It's about loving our neighbour as ourself. Well, Paul then goes on to say, well, there's going to be a challenge. There's going to be a challenge for us if we want to live a faith-based life in Christ. And that is the old way of life that we were used to. And regrettably, from personal experience, I can say that that old way of life does manifest itself too often. And he goes on in verses 19 to 21 to speak about certain characteristics of that old way of life, a way of life that all of us have said, those of us who have espoused Christ, that we really do want to eradicate those particular elements from our life. And we see the necessity because verse 21 makes it abundantly clear that those who do such things, those who continue to practice those works of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But it's not about those particular issues that I want to address this morning. And indeed, it's the challenge. It's the challenge of verse 22 and verse 23, where Paul says, in contrast to these works of the flesh, he says there's something else that is magnificent in the life of a believer. And that is the beginning of fruit. And he goes on to explain those particular fruits. Is it a singular fruit or is it a case that it's multidimensional and that there are many fruits? Well, the Greek provides us no real evidence here as to whether it's singular or plural. Perhaps 1 Corinthians 13 provides us some insights that it's one fruit and there are various hues, there are various components perhaps that make up that particular fruit. There's so much to speak about, and do you speak about all of them or do you speak about one? And this morning I just really want to speak about one of those particular fruits. I want to speak about kindness. And the reason I want to speak about kindness is that I think for many of us we will have an idea of kindness as doing good deeds, and indeed it is. And perhaps we're thinking of the social norms. You know, the social norms are bad. If people are unwell, we send them a card. And if you're driving along, you might let people in. Very big note to self. Perhaps it's a case of donating to charities, etc. But is that really what Paul meant when he spoke about kindness? I want to do something a little unusual in that I want to give you the answer right up front. So in a sense, if you want to sort of switch off afterwards, you feel free to do so. But the real essence of what kindness is all about is demonstrated for us in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'd like you to come across to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. So Ephesians chapter 4, we might just pick up from verse 31. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It'll be very similar to what you've got in your lap. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So what's so important about kindness? Well, kindness is inextricably linked to God's grace. Kindness is inextricably linked to our forgiveness, the forgiveness that we have in Christ. It comes right down to this element of kindness. And so that's why Paul says here that we need to be kind. We need to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. They're challenges. They are real challenges, particularly if we feel wronged. We might feel that there's justification for saying something, for doing something. But what does Paul counsel us here? Paul says, well, we're kind. We're kind because of God's graciousness towards us. He's forgiven us. Don't know what the sins are in your life. I know in my own life that I am in immense need of God's forgiveness. The enormity of the forgiveness that's available in Christ. The enormity of the graciousness. You'll, of course, look at your own lives. And on the basis of your need, so too needs to be the element of kindness in your life. I guess one of the other reasons that prompted me to speak about kindness is perhaps twofold. I was walking into Woolworths the other day and there was a little sticker that was on the door. Please be kind. And when I thought about it, I thought, wow, there's obviously an issue that they've felt compelled. And this was sort of not one that was sort of the old printed up by hand. This was one that had been circularised by the company itself. Printed up the nice green, and there it was. Please be kind. Why would a company want to go to those lengths? Why would it see the necessity of saying, please be kind? And I guess there was also another confluence. I'm doing some part-time work for Kaplan at the present time. And they've embarked upon what they call a Project Kind. In fact, they've got an email address, anzkind@kaplan.edu.au. And every week you get a message, you get something that deals with kindness, that deals with gratitude. And so it made me think, the reality of the situation is that in a secular society round about us, there is this growing necessity, there's this growing need that people focus on kindness. And as we are part of, shall we say, a greater community, and the way in which a greater community deals with issues and how we interact, I thought it might be beneficial that we focused on kindness as well. And indeed, as you've already seen from Ephesians 4, the level of kindness that we are called upon to demonstrate is a level of kindness that is far surpassing anything that might appear outside of this place. So why is it that people are being encouraged to be kind? Well, I pulled out my resilience project diary or journal that I did from a couple of years ago. And some of you, if you're at school, may have heard of the Resilience Project. But what it actually does do, and I'll get to the right page here, every single day there was sort of some questions that were asked of you. That the whole idea was to demonstrate gratitude and empathy and kindness. But one of the key things, and I'll just pick up on this, it says, the questions are designed to make sure you are always on the lookout for opportunities to be kind to other people. Why? It's simple. The science says focusing on good things, gratitude, and being kind to others, empathy, makes you feel happier. Now, without wishing to dissect too much, I'm prepared to just take that for what's been written. So in other words, there's research that suggests that if we demonstrate gratitude, we demonstrate kindness, then that's going to make us feel happy. Now that's great, but I think all of us want just that little bit more, and that's exactly what we want to speak about this morning. How can we take kindness to a higher level? Now, of course, that little quote also raised, I think, an interesting point. And that was that you had to be on the lookout to be kind to others. And I think that's important. So it's looking for things that we can do. And so hence that's why I framed the exhortation this morning, that in a sense kindness is love communicating. That's really what we should be looking to do. What can we do to demonstrate kindness to others? So I guess from a spiritual perspective, what then is kindness? Well, it's got overtones of caring, of compassion, gratitude. But it's more than just feelings. And indeed, the Greek word implies that there's a call to action. In other words, we want to take action to help. Vine says that it has reference to service. And what we've read already in Galatians chapter 5, I think we can get the gist of the importance of what kindness actually is. But I want to just share with you three little pithy sentences from Brother Dennis Gillett, because I think Brother Dennis actually encapsulates what it means to demonstrate kindness. And so the first of these little phrases from Brother Dennis, he says that kindness is the ability to discern needs and to meet them lovingly. It's all about discerning needs and to meet them lovingly. He goes on to say it's not doing great things occasionally, it's doing small things regularly and not minding that they appear so small. So it's a lot of small things. And he goes on to say, put simply, kindness is love communicating. But here's the real kicker. Here's the real kicker as to what's so important about kindness. Brother Dennis says, the fruit of kindness emanating from us should draw others to know the source of our kindness. So in a sense, when we are demonstrating kindness to others, it's a reflection of how much God's love, how much God's mercy, how much God's grace is part of our lives. And that to me is just so powerful. So how we act the one to the other, that's demonstrating the source of our kindness. And of course, as Galatians says, there's that sort of, in a sense, bifurcation that presents. There's either the fruit of the Spirit or there's the works of the flesh. What I do find interesting when we start to look at kindness is that when we look at the New Testament, over half the references to kindness all relate to God. And I'd like to just pick out three of those particular references and perhaps just sort of extract some lessons from those particular passages, if we could. Could you come across to Luke chapter 6 and at verse 35? Indeed, all of the passages that we're going to look at this morning, all of them will be familiar to us. But drawing upon what Peter said, that sometimes we need to have these things brought to our remembrance. And please also acknowledge that whatever I'm saying with a clear acknowledgement of my own failures and foibles in this particular area. So it's not directed at anybody in particular. I think if you're just looking at the section from verse 27 and just glance down at the Bible, so Luke 6 from about verse 27, you start to get the picture as to what Jesus is speaking about. If I could perhaps just draw your attention to verse 31. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. So again, there's a little echo from what we've read already in Galatians chapter 5. But I think it gets down to the real sharp, pointy end in verse 35. Love your enemies. Do good and lend. Expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. There's a challenge there, isn't there? There's a challenge there where to be kind to the same extent that God is. God's kind to the ungrateful and the evil. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. That's the kindness of God. But you'll note that linking with that kindness that God demonstrates, and God demonstrates that kindness in a very, very broad application. It's not just a selectivity that I'm going to be kind towards those who are in Christ. God is magnanimous. He's magnanimous in the kindness that he demonstrates, even demonstrating to people that we might say they're nobodies. God demonstrates kindness to those. And then to sort of bring everything right to a conclusion, Jesus says that here's our call to arms. Our call to arms is to be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Just think about that for a moment. We're to be merciful to the same extent as God is merciful. Each one of us here will know our own failings, our own shortcomings. Maybe those failings, those shortcomings are only known to the individual and they're not known to a broader number. But God knows, and whatever we're doing, there is still forgiveness, there is still mercy. All of us are in need of God's mercy. And so we need to be merciful. To the extent that we know that we need God's mercy in our lives, our Lord is suggesting that we need to be magnanimous in the mercy that we distribute to others. Why? Because God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil alike. That's Luke 6. Romans chapter 2. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 2. Pick up, say, verse 4. I just love the language that Paul uses here. He says, "Do you presume on the riches of his kindness?" Again, you're speaking about the fact that there's a superfluous amount of kindness, a cornucopia, we might say, of kindness that God presents to us, the riches of his kindness. But that kindness goes on further to be described as forbearance and patience. And then Paul says, God's kindness, what does God's kindness, what's it designed to do? God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. Think about God's kindness in your life. And I think all of us are going to be prepared to acknowledge that we've seen the good hand of God in our lives. What's Paul wanting us to think about? Well, when we see the good hand, when we see God's kindness in our lives, what should that do for us? Well, there needs to be a level of repentance. There needs to be a change of direction. Things that we might otherwise have done, we think, God's been kind to me. I'll reciprocate. And of course, he goes on in verse 6 and 7, words that we know well, that each one of us, according to our works, it's going to be rendered to us. But I think looking at Romans 2 and at verse 4, we have sort of an extension of the importance of God's kindness towards us. I think perhaps the most powerful of examples of God's kindness to us is Ephesians chapter 2. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 through to 10. Again, these are just so familiar, the words here. In 5 minutes, we're just not going to be able to explore this to the extent that we should. Let's just pick up a couple of phrases from Ephesians 2 and verse 4. God is rich in mercy. It's great love. Again, we're talking superlatives. When we're speaking about God, it's always superlatives. At one point, we were dead in trespasses. But what's God done? We've been raised to sit with him in heavenly places. Verse 7 speaks about the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. You can't measure it. It's beyond measure, the kindness that God has given towards us. Immeasurable, impossible to measure. You can't put any sort of value on that. Immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And then he continues on to say that we've been created for his workmanship in Christ Jesus. But perhaps we should just digress just for a moment. What's grace? Well, I guess we can have some sort of dictionary definition and speak of it in terms of that it's unmerited divine favour. But what does that really mean? Well, one of the things that the scriptures actually speak to us about is the fact that, in a sense, that grace is overarching. When we speak about grace, we are speaking about God's character. But embodied within that concept of grace are concepts of mercy, of generosity, of allowance, of favour, of goodwill, of clemency. Peter, in 1 Peter 4 and at verse 10, says he speaks about the manifold grace of God. In other words, there is variations that come within that grace. And what about those majestic words from the writer to the Hebrews in his fourth chapter and at verse 16? He speaks about the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy. What a simple but elegant phrase, that throne of grace. The psalmist also weighs in Psalm 103. He speaks about a father showing compassion to his children. That's the level of compassion that God shows to us. He remembers that we are but dust. That's God's grace. That's God's kindness towards us. And that's the sort of kindness that we need to be developing in our lives. That's the kindness that Paul is writing of in Galatians chapter 5. So, drawing upon those principles of kindness with regards to God, what does this actually mean for us? Well, I think there are three things that immediately come to my mind when I think about the kindness, the mercy, the forgiveness of God. The first is that I need to have a greater sympathy for others, including their faults. I need to do this. I need to have a greater allowance for the failings of others. I fail, others fail, but God provides a richness of mercy and kindness to me. And of course, I can only but draw one conclusion when I consider those passages, that in the dealings that I have with others, I need to be demonstrating that same level of kindness that God is demonstrating to me. I think we need to have a look at 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm sure those of you who know this topic well will be saying he's got to speak about 1 Corinthians 13. It's just going to be a cursory passing over of 1 Corinthians 13. Perhaps from verse 4 to 7, this is the evidence that we might say that it is the fruit, a singular fruit that Paul is speaking about in Galatians chapter 5. If you read through what's described from verses 4 to 7, you'll see that there is a confluence of ideas that emerges from 1 Corinthians 13 and Galatians 5. Probably don't need me to read it. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude. And we've got a whole lot of other descriptors of what love is. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things. It endures all things. But the second descriptor after describing it as being patient, it's kind. Why does Paul say then that love is kind? In a sense, you'd sort of think that that's almost superfluous. Why even write that? Because for many of us, we'd say love and kindness are almost synonymous terms. Why does Paul perhaps see the necessity to embody kindness? And I think the reason he does is for the reasons that we've already explored, and that is that he's wanting to draw our attention to the kindness that what love is all about. It's a kindness that comes from God. It's the same Greek word as what we've also explored in Ephesians, in Romans, and in Luke. It's reminding us that the kindness that we demonstrate is a kindness that comes from God. It's a recognition of God at work in our lives. We won't look at it, but Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 13 provides a parallel account to Galatians chapter 5. And again, it expresses about the importance of kindness. But I think it's really Micah. In Micah chapter 6 and at verse 8, Micah provides some succinct yet valuable contributions to our topic for discussion this morning. The prophet Micah says in 6 and at verse 8, "What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Bears just to me just an elevation of the importance of kindness. Justice, kindness, humility. That's in a sense what Micah says. That's what God is looking for in each one of us. Are we doing justice? Do we love kindness? And are we walking humbly with our God? Well, the secret of genuine kindness lies in having true sympathy for others, which can only come from knowing and appreciating what others may be going through. It's this level of kindness that forms part of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's this level of kindness that our Lord and our God demonstrate to us. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Thank you.